You'll turn back in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Over our summer series of sermons, we're concentrating on the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus says, "Pray then like this, Our Father." It isn't that Jesus is giving us the exact wording that we are to use when we pray, and it isn't that Jesus is restricting the words that we are to use when we are praying, but rather Jesus here is giving a pattern for prayer. Here is the pattern with which we are to pray. Here is a measuring rod that we can use to see if our prayers are being our proper prayers, our full prayers, our biblical prayers. Here is the pattern for prayer. And we come this morning to what is called the fourth petition, or the fourth thing that we ask for. We find it in verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." It's interesting that the first thing that we ask for ourselves is found nearly halfway through the prayer. The first three petitions are all to do with God. We're seeking God's glory and honor. We're praying for his name, for his kingdom, and for his will to be done. And so we are taught our prayers are to be God-focused. And so before we come to ask for anything for ourselves, we must make sure that our prayers are God-focused. I should also say this morning that these words, "Give us this day our daily bread," actually cause some problems. The problem is the word "daily." The word translated as "daily" doesn't appear anywhere else in the Bible, apart from Luke chapter 11, where it's used again in the Lord's Prayer. It also isn't a word that is used in other Greek writings. There's maybe one or two other instances of this word. But outside of that, it's a relatively unknown word, this word "daily." Some translators have taken it to mean "daily," as we have it in most of our translations. Some say it could mean "tomorrow." We could be praying for tomorrow's bread, that God would give us what we need for the next day. Others translate the word as "a thing of necessity." We are praying for our necessary bread. And still others say it refers to a bread of life. And so there's a level of uncertainty as to the precise meaning of the word "daily." So what is it that we should be praying for? Should we be praying for bread for today? Should we be praying for bread for tomorrow? Should we be praying only for what is necessary? Or should we be praying for the bread of life? Well, I don't want us to leave here confused this morning or overly concerned if we're praying correctly, if we pray for daily bread. We're not to be too concerned, because there are some things that are absolutely certain when it comes to praying for this bread. We are to realize that Jesus is teaching us that we need bread to live. We need basic food, and we need it today. And we will need it tomorrow if God spares us. And so it's right for us to pray for what is essential. So don't be overly concerned about what the word "daily" might mean or could mean. Jesus is teaching us that it is right and proper to pray for what is essential. and necessary. We also know that when we pray, these things come from the hand of God, that it is God who gives us what is essential. All things come from His hand. Not just the spiritual things, but the physical things. But also as we pray this prayer, we know that the physical will fade away. And so what we need more than anything is the spiritual and eternal. We need an eternal satisfaction from God as well. So the problem that some translators have with this verse isn't really a problem for us when we pray. We pray for our daily bread, knowing that we ask God to give us what we need today, to continue to provide for us those things that are essential, that God will give us what is necessary, and always in the back of our minds, praying that God will provide that eternal bread of life, that He will give us what we need in Jesus Christ. So it isn't a problem for us, even though others may struggle in understanding what the word daily might mean. One writer has put it this way: it is right for us to pray, "Give us enough to bear this day, till we come to heaven, and it suffices." Lord, give us enough for today, and that will be sufficient until we get to heaven, when we will have everything we need. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, let's consider this fourth petition this morning. And I want us to notice, firstly, that there is a humble consideration in this prayer. There is a humble consideration. We are praying that our Father in heaven will give us this bread. We're to humbly realize and consider that even the most basic, simple, least thing is given to us by God. As we pray this, we realize that everything that we have comes from God. Even the most basic crumb of food on our plate comes from God's hand. There's nothing that we possess, nothing that we own, nothing that we have attained or achieved that has not come from God. Thomas Watson, in his commentary on the Lord's Prayer, says, "All we have is from the hand of God's royal bounty. We have nothing but what He gives us out of His storehouse. We cannot have one bit of bread but from God." That means everything we have is a gift. It's a gift. Here is a word for you to hold this thought onto, that we're to humbly consider this. Everything we have is a gift. In making this request, we are reminding ourselves of our complete dependence on God. If the most basic food comes from God alone, then we are to look to Him for everything. Think of the things that you have. A roof over your heads. Clothes to wear. Family. Food. Jobs. Wisdom. Our riches. Our health. The rain that falls, whether we like it or not. The sun that shines. Everything comes from the hand of God. Everything is a gift from God. We don't deserve it. We are a creation that has turned its back on God. Creation that has rebelled against God. Decided that God's ways are not our ways, and so we turn our backs on God, and yet God graciously provides for the whole creation. even those who are his children, called by his grace into his family, we still stumble and fall. We still decide that we know what's best. We know how to live our lives our way. And so we disobey God, even his children. And yet, God continues to give gifts, completely undeserved. All that we have is a gift from God. This is what Jesus is teaching his disciples as they pray. As you pray, as you come before God, you have to humbly consider, humbly realize that everything, even the most basic provision of food, comes from God alone. And if it's a gift, and if it's a gift from God, then we know that it is for our good. It's for our good. Sometimes when we're speaking about situations or difficulties that people face, we sometimes say, oh, they didn't need that. A family's going through a hard time, and something else crops up, some other hardship or trouble, and automatically we think, oh, that's the last thing they needed. Is it? If God only gives good gifts, if God knows what is best, is that the last thing they needed? Or is it a gift from the Father in heaven? We maybe don't understand the gift. We maybe can't see the good in the gift. But because everything that we have comes from God, then we have to realize that everything that we've been given is for our good. We are to humbly bow our heads and thank God for every gift, for every good gift that he has given. We're to take notice of that in our praying. Pay attention to it in our prayers and ask God for those things. When we teach our children to pray, and when they are asking God for things, when it comes to that part in prayer, it's good for them to learn that they can ask God for the most basic of things. I remember when some of my nieces were a bit younger, and at family worship, they would sometimes, one of them in particular, used to thank God for things like chocolate sauce. And it made you smile. But why not? Everything we have comes from God. And that is an important lesson for our children to learn. If that is the type of prayers that they offer up, encourage it. Remind them that's good to thank God for even those things, because everything we have has been given to us by our Father in heaven. Here is a humble consideration as we come to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. A humble consideration. But then secondly, we have here a holy compassion. A holy compassion. It is God who gives. We are praying to our Father, give us. Give to us. And it is because he is the perfect Father in heaven that he gives. And so we can pray this with confidence. We can pray this with assurance because there is a Father in heaven who has holy compassion. I want to notice four things about God's holy compassion in giving. The first one is, God is not weary in giving. Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray, give us our daily bread today. How often should they pray for that? Once a week? Once a month? Once a year? How often are they to pray for something daily? Well, the answer is in the prayer. Every day. Continually. Continually asking God, Lord, give us this day. Give us today. Here is a prayer day after day after day. Some fathers get weary of their children always asking for the same things. Please may I have. Can you do this for me? I would like. It can feel continual, and I'm starting to realize that having an infant son whose words are progressing, who keeps asking for the same things over and over again. We are not perfect fathers. It can be weary. But God. But God. Perfect Father. Who never gets weary of us asking. We sometimes approach God in prayer as though He were like us. We sometimes think, how can I ask for this again? Is it right for me to keep asking for this thing? Surely God will just get weary of me because I would get weary of me. But no. He is our Father in heaven, our perfect Father, who only gives us what is good, and He never gets weary in giving to His children. Jesus told a story of a widow who goes to seek justice from the local judge. And she goes back to him day after day after day. She harasses him, seeking justice. And eventually, Jesus says, the judge gives in. He's been worn down, and he gives what is right and proper. Jesus is drawing a contrast with God as Father. God isn't like the judge. God doesn't have to be worn down into giving. God delights. God doesn't get weary in giving good things to those that He loves. Pray for what we need. Pray for what is essential. Pray day after day because there is a Father who shows holy compassion. And He's not weary in giving. Not only is He not weary in giving, but God delights in giving. God delights in giving. This is the second part of this holy compassion. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11, Jesus, in continuing this Sermon on the Mount, really expanding parts of the Lord's Prayer, He says, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? God loves to give us good gifts. It's not only that He doesn't get weary, but He delights in it. As I was saying to the children, if we go to our own parents and we ask them for things, they love to give us those things that are for our good. How much more so does God delight and love to give to His children? Psalm 84. For the Lord God is sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly, or those that He loves. No good thing does He withhold. He delights. David read at the start of our service, the call to worship, James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above. God delights to give. And God gives generously. God gives generously. It's grace-filled giving. He doesn't have to give, but He gives out of the storehouses of His grace and His mercy. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, Let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. God gives generously. God gives superabundantly. Again, think of the things that you have. Consider your life situation. How generous has God been to us? God has given us far more than we deserve. What we deserve is emptiness. We deserve destitution. We deserve to be in the most miserable poverty. We only deserve, all of humanity only deserves God's anger, God's withholding every good thing. That's what we deserve. But instead, God has given generously. It's a holy compassion. God isn't weary in giving. God delights in giving. God gives generously. And God gives with common grace. The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. God gives good gifts even to his enemies. This prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," it's really grounded in that covenant promise that God made with Noah, that there will be seed time and harvest. There will be summer and winter. There will be heat and cold, night and day, as long as the world shall last. Here was this covenant promise with creation. And God graciously keeps that promise and continues to provide for all of creation. Not just for his own children, but for all of humanity. But this should also make us think how ungrateful we can be, and how ungrateful the world is. Every time we fail to acknowledge his compassion and his goodness, every time we complain about the situation we're in, or we complain about the things that we do not have, or there are things that we want, we put our heart's desire on them, but there are maybe not good things for us, there may be not things that we need. We complain if we don't have them, we moan if we don't have them. How ungrateful we are to the God who shows holy compassion. If you're not a Christian this morning, how ungrateful you are for every good thing God has given to you. You don't deserve any of God's goodness. And yet he's provided clothes for you, food for you. He's provided a home. He's provided employment, if you have employment, or he's provided a state to provide financially if you're out of employment. He has provided everything good that you have. And if you have never thanked him, never come to him, then how ungrateful you are being. And that's just one of our many sins against God. So what you must do if you're not a Christian is you must turn to him, confess that sin, and seek his forgiveness, and cry out to him for something more, for something greater, as we're going to think about in a moment. But God gives graciously. God shows holy compassion. And so as his children, that should encourage us to pray. That should encourage us to come before Him and to cry out to Him. As we've been considering the Lord's Prayer, I hope that you've been encouraged in praying to know that we have a Father in heaven. And here we are told that we can ask for even the most basic of things. Let us not be hindered in coming before Him, but let us humbly come before Him, the one who shows holy compassion. And that brings us thirdly and lastly to this prayer also has a happy contentment. A happy contentment. Give us this day our daily bread. Our bread. The sufficient bread. And give it to us today. We are asking God for what is essential. We're asking God for what is sufficient. In Proverbs chapter 30, if you turn to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 to 10, here we have the prayer of a wise man in Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 10. I wonder how many of us have offered up a prayer like this. Proverbs 30, verse 7. We'll just read verses 7 to 9. Two things I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Lest I be full and deny you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Here is what we are to ask God for. Lord, give me what I need. Make me content with what you have given to me. Give me enough so that I can bear with the circumstances of my life. Until that point when I come to heaven, and that will be sufficient for me. We are to pray, give me what I need. Give me what is sufficient. And so as we pray, this is the attitude that we are to have. We're to come with that attitude of a readiness to be content with what God gives. An attitude that says, Lord, whatever you give in your will, according to your plan and your purpose, help me, Lord, to take that with joy and contentment. Help me to depend on you and praise you. Give us this day our daily bread. I want you also to notice that this contentment isn't just personal contentment, but it's a contentment for community. Give us this day our daily bread. The prayer isn't in the singular. We are also praying for others. We are praying that they too may have this contentment. We are to pray for one another. Lord, satisfy us. Fill us with your grace. Provide for us those things that we need. Not only do we pray for each other, but I believe this prayer also teaches us to pray with each other. It's a communal prayer. It's a prayer offered up together. Give us this day our daily bread. We are to pray together as families. Pray this prayer. Ask God for those things that we need as a family. We're to pray this as a congregation. We are to meet together to pray. That's what Scripture tells us to do. We can come together. And we can offer up this prayer together. Praying for contentment together.
We have our prayer meetings. I'm going to keep going on and on and on and on about our prayer meetings as we look at the Lord's Prayer. Why? Because it's good for us to meet to pray together. It's not so that we can look around and say, oh, look how wonderful we are. Look at the numbers at our prayer meeting. No, it's because it's good for us to do it, and we're commanded to do it. We're to pray together for this contentment, for provision as a church. One last point to make. As we offer up this prayer, we are praying for those things that are temporal, the physical. We are praying for those things that pass away. And it's good for us to do that. We are to do that. It's not an unspiritual thing to pray for physical provision. Remember the church in Acts, as the apostles were going about their duties, things were overwhelming them. They needed men to look after the physical. They needed deacons. And later on in September, we're going to be electing new deacons. Continue to be praying for that. It's good to have the physical cared for. It's good to pray for the physical. Christ tells us to do that. The physical does matter, but we're reminded that it passes. Someday, it will end. Lord, give us what we need in this life. May it satisfy us and uphold us, because we also know that there will be a sufficiency in heaven. And so as we pray this prayer, our minds should also go to the spiritual. And as we pray for daily bread, we can't help but think of the one who said, I am the bread of life. There is one who is bread that is more necessary than the physical bread. There is the eternal bread, Christ Himself. And friends, He is our most basic need. And so every day, as we come in prayer, we're to be reminded that there is one who has provided for us an overflowing, abundant supply of grace and goodness, Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ, we have so many riches, so much worth. As we come before God, we come with the humble consideration that we are unworthy. And what God has given to us in Jesus Christ, we don't deserve. Forgiveness of sin, adoption into His family, being made clean in His sight, access before His very throne. What we have in Jesus Christ is so much greater. And God has given us that through His holy compassion. And He isn't weary in drawing us to Christ. And He doesn't withhold Christ from those who ask. But He gives abundantly and generously. And so we're to cry out for Christ. And if you're not a Christian, then this, more than the bread that's on your plate, this is your greatest need, Jesus Christ. To come to Him, to have forgiveness through Him, new life in Him, provision in Him. God gives us out of His grace, and this keeps us humble. Knowing that we come before a Father who delights to give, who delights to provide. And so we pray, Lord, give to us what we need, that it might be sufficient for us in the circumstances in which we find ourselves, that it might sustain us through until that day when we are in heaven, when all will be provided in its fullness. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen.